Will the Budget and Finance Committee please come to order? Mr. Sampson, you have the floor first to review our financial situation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can everybody hear me? Okay. Those on Zoom, you should have gotten an email about an hour or so ago that has all these documents in that email. And we'll begin statement of summary statements for foreign court. County General Fund 1,000, $3,338,460.95. County Road Fund 2,000, $4,920,950.66. County Road Sales Tax Fund 3402, $1,584,094.37. Animal Welfare and Control Fund 3404, $1,667,554.14. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund 3407, $934,987.08. A couple things I want you to point out here on this first page. County General amount not appropriated after last month is currently $489,166.09. If you look down there in my note, we're currently withholding 10%. If we move that to the standard 12%, which we've been doing in previous years, that'll add an additional $268,000 to that withholding number.
How does that have to happen? If you know, the court decided they wanted to do that, does that have to be an ordinance?
Yes, it'd have to be an amendment to the budget.
Okay.
Hey, Scott, would you repeat the last figures that you mentioned about the 10-12%?
We're currently withholding at County General at 10%. In order to go to the 12%, which we've done in years past, this is the first year we've done the 10%, $268,124.11 would be an additional holdback. That would cut into that 489.
Okay, thank you.
If you'll picture me to page 2, County General Revenue. Here's some good parts we're fixing to talk about. We've talked about all the stuff that's kind of tough, but County General Revenue is holding in there right now. As you can see, it's slightly above last year at this time. We're actually about, I think, $47,000 above last year, at $5.6 million. As we've talked about in the past, taxes are holding in there pretty good. The two revenue series that we're concerned about is 7400 series, which is fines, forfeitures, and fees, 7600 series, which is officer's fees. For June, the 7400 series come back to kind of where it needs to be. We're only down about $90,000 in that revenue section, which is not good, but it's not as bad as it could be. However, in the 7600 series, the officer's fees, we're still down month to month about half of what we were last year. And we're down about $50,000 in that year today. Those are my two biggest concerns. I have some other concerns going forward, but as of just looking back in the reporting, those are my reserves from the past. I guess my biggest concern going forward is with the rise in these COVID numbers and not being able to kind of crank back up like we'd hoped to, are we going to get our tax collections in October? That's looking forward is a more fear than looking back right now. If we'll push over to page 3, tax revenue. Sales tax revenue for June, $801,036.93. We're currently at 50% of projected, which is right where we need to be. We'd like to be better, but that's okay. Flip with me to the next page. You know, we talked about going into last month. Last month we talked about the June numbers, which are actually receipts from April. We're going to be our worst ones, and we would hope to be even with this time last year. We're actually down 2.38% for the month. It's not great, but it's not bad. We're still up 6.21% for the year. If we can hold our numbers kind of what we were last year for the end of the year, we're going to be in good shape. But like I said, looking forward is scarier right now than looking back. We're just going to have to see how they turn out. If you throw me to the final page, that's our chart. The issue I have with this chart, and I've talked about it before, when our three-month moving average is down below our one-year moving average, and our one-year moving average starts turning south, it's kind of a perk your ears up kind of situation. We need to pay attention. It's happened. You can see where it's happened in the past, but usually our three-month moving average is back above the one-year moving average by the time that the one-year moving average dips. This is happening just a little bit premature this time. I think it has a lot to do with the COVID, but we're just going to have to watch that in the next few months. Are there any questions for Dr. Jones?
So if you back up to page 3, so to date, our sales tax revenue is 4.9.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Comparably speaking, from January to June of last year, it's 4.6. Is that correct?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
We had projected. So last year we revenued a total of, 9.492, nearly 9.5. Well, looking into this year, we increased that by about 3%, knowing that the internet sales tax was going to be on and all those things. We typically don't do that much, but we did this time, just anticipation. So at 9.8, in the first two or three months, it looked awesome, like we were going to make it pretty easy. Well, with COVID, we're coming back. We still think we're going to make the number right now. Still think we're going to make that number. It's just going to be very close.
Even with being the 289,000.
Okay. Right. Now, these numbers here are sales tax numbers.
Okay.
That doesn't have anything to do with the 289 or the 268 on the front page for this county check.
And on property taxes, do we have any kind of report as to how, or people, I'm hearing through the grapevine, people are paying their taxes early.
Well, you know, most property taxes at this time, the majority of them, property taxes are paid, and if the collector's here, I'd rather her speak on this than me, but they're mainly paid through your escrow. You know, our May collections have got most of your escrow in there. So that was the biggest majority. Tax collection right now is up very slightly above where it was last year, but we're still holding on. Like I said, my biggest fears are going forward and not so much looking back, is if this thing rolls on, and we've talked about it before, and cases keep climbing and we start constricting and people aren't back to work and aren't getting their 600 a month, and it rolls into September and October, one thing that you can do is not pay your property tax and nothing happened. You know, you can wait a year or two. You're paying a delinquent.
Right.
But what we need here at the county is, if it's paid on time, it goes in our budget cycle this year. If it's not paid on time and paid next year, which it helps next year, but it hurts this year.
Right.
And right now, we're mainly worried about this year.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm not worried about future years, but I'm really concerned about this year.
Any further questions with Mr. Sasson? Thank you, Mr. Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. We have proposed ordinance 20-16 before us. I need a motion to put it into play.
Motion made.
Second.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions about about Section 1 in Ordinance 2016?
Section 2?
Section 1.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies.
No questions? Section 2?
I'd like for John to explain.
When I gave my State of the Library report in February, I mentioned one of the big things we're doing this year is a big automation process. We're putting RFID chips in every single item we have, and roughly a quarter million RFID chips comes to about $32,000, which came out of my general supply line when it got to the courthouse. So that's about the best thing you can code with a tiny little chip times 260,000 times. The supply line with a $32,000 buyout of it will go into the negative by the end of the year if I don't move money
And it will not hurt your improvement fund?
No.
How is the library doing?
We're doing great. It feels very busy.
Your doors are open?
No, they're not. We have 6 numbered spots out front. At any time, there's probably 2 or 3 spots filled up there with somebody who's pulled up the door. They've rung in. They said, I'm in spot number such and such. This is my card number. We bring whatever for them outside. We're doing about 100 folks a day in Conway. I'm not sure about that, branch numbers. The phone rings. We're helping people on the phone about 150, 170 times a day. We're doing programs online. We're actually getting better attendance with online programming than we had in-person programming.
Hey, John, I have a question. Did you guys get the PIN system sorted out for all the online content? I know you had issues.
Yes.
Last time you talked.
Yes. We did finally get that all sorted out. I think we had one vendor who was still working on the old system, but it is now, I think, all is up and running. So that's another 800,000 titles of ebooks, magazines, movies, TV shows, comic books, record albums, and everything else you could want.
Anything further on section 2? Questions or comments on section 3? Comments or questions on section 4?
Yeah, I'll say something on that. Is Tom still here?
Tom is not, but Mark Ledbetter, our road foreman, is on Zoom. So.
Oh, is he? Okay. Mr. Ledbetter, can you hear me?
I'm here.
Perfect. Thank you for joining. So I did talk to Scott about this, and it looks like Section 4 and Section 5, I believe, were unappropriated funds that were not budgeted that I guess were just decided to move to asphalt. You mind explaining why y'all moved it to asphalt? Y'all got a good deal right now. You got a lot of work out in front of you. I'm assuming that's kind of what it entails.
We do. We have a lot of work ahead of us, and we've done a lot of work this year. Actually, these numbers will bring us up to what we had budgeted last year, and we were fortunate enough to get good prices this year. And weather, Rogers Group got started early this year on our project, so we're going to be able to do a lot more projects.
I assumed as much. Thank you, sir.
I didn't get that.
I just said thank you.
Any comments or questions on Section 6?
I will ask just why we're moving money from maintenance into salaries.
Going into part time, I'm assuming they were going to have to bring in someone part time.
Is that a question for Tom?
Hello?
Yes.
I tell you what, just give me 1 second. That's a good Tom Anderson question. Let me just go next door and get him real quick. We had reached our capacity here in courtroom A, so. Go ahead and ask your question once again, Justice Pierce.
Yeah, hey Tom, Section 6 for this ordinance transfers $1,200 from maintenance into salaries part-time, and I just was hoping to hear the explanation for that.
With leave and everything we have going, with some of our folks that's been sick this year, we've had some work going done, and we'd like to bring on a part-time person, and so to fill up the slack, that's what we're going to use to pay him with. Won't be extra money. We're just moving from one line item in personal services to another.
To do what work?
Work that we haven't been able to get to because we've had some illness and quite a bit of leave. And with some of our maintenance department, we just have 4 people in the department. So we're getting behind on some of the things we need to attend to.
Okay, so it's not the creation of an additional headcount, is
no,
it?
It'll just be a part-time that doesn't work for us now, but we'll bring on part-time.
Okay, thank you.
Further further comments on ordinance 2016? Then I need a motion to advance this to the full court.
Motion made.
Second.
All in favor of advancing proposed ordinance 20-16 to the full court, indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Good. All right. The next item on the agenda is a discussion about the jail. Now, given that Mr. Randall indicated that we have 45 days to respond to the COPS grant, the Budget and Finance Committee will have to meet next Monday before the quorum court, meeting on Tuesday. And would you prefer that we meet at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 4 o'clock?
I would prefer that we do address it tonight, honestly, since we have everybody in the building. We have the ordinance in front of us. It's been sent to us by the personnel in good faith. I think it would be appropriate if we addressed it tonight.
It's not on the agenda tonight.
There has been countless times where we have not even issued an agenda to our Budget and Finance Committee meetings. We have had ordinances pop up that were not on the agenda. I do not see why we cannot address this tonight. It would be act of respect to our Sheriff's Department, and I do think the people of Faulkner County deserve us to address it as such. Plus, it would save them additional money from having to pay us from an additional meeting next Monday night. So I would ask that you please reconsider that.
It's not on the agenda because there's a number of alternative ways to pay for the COPS grant other than what's been proposed.
And why can that not be discussed tonight?
The numbers aren't in front of us.
We have the ordinance in front of us, plus a full week before it goes before the full court.
It's not on the agenda. I'm not going to take up the ordinance 20-17 tonight.
I will one more time ask that you please reconsider. There has been multiple times where an agenda has not even been issued to the Budget and Finance Committee meetings. We have had ordinances pop up at the last minute that have not been on the agenda that we have addressed. This is highly disrespectful, and I ask that we please address it.
Ordinance 20-17 is not on the agenda. We'll take it up Monday. Now, what I have put on the agenda is a discussion about the needs of the jail. So I have some handouts that you've already been, was attached to an email. And I have those reported, and we can start on it. Does anybody else need something? No, I've got one. A quick overview of what I'm passing out is that the cover page has the statistics that the Sheriff's Office has provided the court monthly basis from January of last year until June of this year. And the spreadsheet only has the jail statistics on it, not the other information that the Sheriff's Office sends us on a monthly basis. So if you'll turn to the first graph, this is Unit 1. And we were certainly above capacity up until early this year. And there are three graphs. One's capacity Two is the number of inmates, and the other is the monthly high. And the monthly high and the number of inmates follow the same pattern. Next graph is the male units in Unit 2, the male inmates in Unit 2, and you can see both of them are, both the inmates and the monthly high are below capacity. So there's no problem in Unit 2. And next graph shows the female inmates. There was one in early part of last year, the number of monthly high exceeded the capacity, but since then it's declined significantly, and the number of inmates is below capacity. And the same thing on the next page is the juvenile occupancy. Below capacity, no problem in juveniles. And the last page is interesting, is that it's the average number of Arkansas Department of Correction inmates that are being held in the Faulkner County Jail. And up until, if you exclude May and June, the average is about 50, but it fluctuates quite a bit. So if someone asks you how many do we, how many state inmates are we having to house at our jail, it's approximately 50. However, there's been a big decrease in May and June. That probably follows from the Arkansas Department of Corrections releasing prisoners at the state level, which provides space for state inmates held in Faulkner County Jail to be shipped to the state facilities. And that's what you see in May and June. So the question is, I mean, there's no ordinance before us now, but the question is, do we need a jail expansion?
Well, Justice Pickett, I'm not going to lie. I did see the stats. I think it's opened several people's eyes due to COVID. Maybe there's some adjustments we can make moving forward, but I think what most people in the room care about tonight is proposed ordinance 20-17, and I would like to make a motion that we suspend the rules and bring proposed ordinance 20-17 to the table to discuss.
Okay, back to the jail statistics. The question is, and the court's going to have to face, do we need jail expansion? Now, there's a condition on that, and that is if the sheriff's office and the courts continue their policies and practices that release prisoners, if that continues in the future. And
Mr. Chairman, if I may?
Yes.
First, I want to say thank you to whoever put this document together. It's nice to see some of these top-line stats that the Sheriff's Office gives us every month, but on a calendar basis. There's lots of good information here. There's lots of things that are going on in the county right now with criminal justice and the jail numbers and changes being made at many different levels across a variety of institutions that deal with criminal justice. I have been having several conversations with local judges, with local law enforcement and other entities, trying to understand the decline in the numbers a little bit, and to just have a conversation about just exactly what is going on. And it's been very enlightening and very revealing in a lot of ways. I've learned a lot. I'm still learning quite a bit, and have a few more very important conversations to go before I really feel like I've made all the rounds and talked to everybody that I would like to. But I think this is a really important moment for Faulkner County as a community to pause, take a breath, and to look at our criminal justice system and possibilities to do things differently or continue to do them the way that we used to. And so I'm doing my due diligence to try to have those conversations and understand just exactly what is going on and why. And, you know, I'm not really ready to report anything to this committee about the conversations I've been having, but that is all to say that, you know, at this time, I'm not prepared personally to move forward with the jail expansion because I think those conversations need to happen. And, you know, when Sheriff Riles first came to the court, I think back in December of last year, asked for the court's approval to create the Faulkner County Coordinating Criminal Justice Committee. You know, his main motivator for that committee was to reduce the population in our jails, was to find ways to reduce populations. And here we have a situation where that has been forced upon us as a community, and that pressure is being applied to many different institutions and players across the criminal justice system. And so, you know, in the spirit of what the Criminal Justice Coordinating Committee was originally created to do, I feel like a lot of work needs to be done to understand what is going on and why, what impact it has on our community. I'm looking over crime statistics, I'm looking over incarceration rates, I'm looking over reoffense rates, all types of information that will help inform this decision moving forward. And so again, that is all to say that at this point in time, I'm not prepared to move forward with any expenditures or appropriations for jail expansion until we fully vet these reductions. So thank you for the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Pearson. We have any more comments? Comments from the other attending?
Justice Pickett, if you would clarify with me, the inmates that average around 50 that come from the state, is that graph, those 50 in with this Unit 1, Unit 2 graph?
Yes.
That is part of that. Okay, and so if we took those out, I wonder where the graph would be. If we removed the 50, I wonder where the graph would be for Faulkner County inmates.
Well, it would certainly shift down everywhere, but we could do it on the average of 50, but we have the numbers by month, and we could subtract the actual number from the total and get the Faulkner County.
And if I could, Sheriff Ross, what type of placement has the state put in for releasing inmates versus what you guys are putting in for releasing inmates during this COVID crisis?
Well, first of all, we're not releasing inmates, but the judge and the prosecutors are going through. And obviously, the ones we don't release are our violent offenders and sex offenders and those type of folks. We still have them. That's who we have in our facility right now. The ones that are being released are the ones that, I just want to make sure that everybody understands, the ones that are being released because of this terrible pandemic that we're in, because of the trying to control the best we can the spread of this virus. There's a weight factor that happens, and I'm sure with the prosecutors and the judge, these folks that we're actually letting out are repeat offenders, and they are the very ones, and unless you had your home broken into, your family's been violated, these situations that happen to you, then it's not that important that they're out until it happens to you. And so I just want to remind that we have a community that's out here that bunch of victims that we are releasing these out. I don't like it. I think I don't have any choice, but I don't like that. I don't know when this. I'm probably getting off of your question just a little bit.
No, you're doing fine.
I apologize for that. I don't know when this is going to be over with. If it's going to be over with next week, next month, after the election, next year, there's no way for us to predict when this is going to be over with. But what I can tell you that when this is over with, the meme that we've had in our jail, even as of the first of the year, of this past year, we was having the state that was warning us through letters to myself and the county judge saying, you've got to do something about your crowdedness. I don't know where, I hope that Justice Pearson, I would love to, once he gets some of his statistics and things that he's researched, I'd love for him to come visit with me and share some of it, because I would love to hear some of that, of what he's got to, you know, what he's been educated in this. I may need some education. I would love to see another direction of the way I think that things should go that can reduce our jail. But the second part of that, I'm on this little tangent here, is it's not just space. But I can't walk down the hallway, and I can tell you just very few weeks at any given time over the past 3 years have I walked down our administration hallway and we don't have 30-gallon tubs catching water from upstairs. Even though we've spent a lot of money in getting jail cells replaced and being able to divide our inmates out to make it safer for our officers, you guys were kind enough and generous enough to help us locate some money to be able to make some expenditures within our facility. We were able to accomplish them. We got some cameras up. It's still a 30-year-old building. It's still deteriorating. And it is an issue. And it could be an issue really soon. So although we have some mechanical things that work now, which is a great thing. So I apologize. I kind of got off on tangent. But if I haven't answered your question, you can.
No, you have.
Yeah.
You have. Thank you.
Okay.
Sheriff Riles, I'd be happy to have a conversation with you or several about this issue moving forward. One interesting thing that I did come across that I will share with you that I noticed was the crime rate within the last few months as the incarceration rates have dropped. At first look, did not appear to be outliers in the data. It didn't show crime jumping off the charts, even though it did show incarceration rates dropping down through the charts. I think that was interesting, just something to consider. Again, I'll be happy to have conversations with you about this.
Please do. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You bet.
Further comments or questions or suggestions? Well,
Justice Pickett.
Yes.
So, if I may, Sheriff, are you still asking for $70,000 for design work?
That is, I think that was done. Yes, sir. 70, 75.
So, I still think that appropriating money from the capital expenditure fund, which is what that money was set aside for the purpose of the design and plans for jail expansion, when we know that we have Unit 1 that is, to not put words in the sheriff's mouth, but seems to be crumbling down around us, we're asking for at least to continue on. I don't think just because we have a lull due to COVID right now is a reason for us to sit back and just see what's going to happen. We're still going to have that going forward. We can still not move forward with the project if that's what the data shows. But I think moving forward with design is not inappropriate.
Are we talking about the pod design, or are we talking about a permanent structure design?
This would be a permanent structure design. I don't know if you've received the information and have been included with the new structure, what we've talked about, just a kind of a different direction for a little bit more money that was way more efficient and we take series at a time, with, you know, a quarter of it at a time, but build it as needed as the population grows over the next 20 years. And it was minimal expense in the big scheme of things, minimal expense to go with this type of a design for permanent. That's it.
Hey, Sheriff Ralph, if I may ask you one question about that design.
Yes, sir.
One of the pods is a 64-bed unit, is that correct?
That's correct.
And is that an open-style barrack, or how is that laid out?
That is a maximum security facility. They will each cell will house no more than four inmates in a cell. It's a maximum security facility, and there'll be 64 beds within it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything further? Well, then I would think that the various committees and the full court will have another ample opportunity to consider the jail expansion. But there's no ordinance before us tonight. This is just a matter of information using data from January of last year through June of this year. Now, if that's the case, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion made.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.